bless your holy name, Father. We ask the Lord, your word will come in power, in full assurance, and in the Holy Ghost. We ask that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we will know what is the hope of your calling, and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us, all who have believed. We ask that you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and bearing fruit in every good work. Thank you, Lord, that we are never the same. We encounter your power and your spirit, and our lives will never be the same again. Thank you for healing the sick. Thank you for divine deliverance. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for the restoration of joy. Thank you for beautiful ashes. Thank you that your name is glorified. In Jesus' name, can you begin to scream to the Lord and give him praise? Come on! And please be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here at all? Can I hear some glory, 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 glory? Hallelujah. I'm excited about the word of God. I would advise that you take some notes, make some notes so that you pick up something before you leave. So please don't just listen, make some notes if you can. Okay? Try and get some notes if you can. We believe so much in the transforming power of the word of God. And it is very possible you may not be able to remember everything that you were learning here. So I advise that you put down some notes if possible. Now, last week we began to look at the second pursuit for the manifestation of glory. We explained that the glory of God by virtue of Calvary is in the life of every child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there are certain things that we need to do to have its manifestation. Now, it's one thing to have an amount of money in a bank and another to cash it out. You may have 10,000 Ghana cedis in your bank account, but you will need a checkbook and a signature to access it. That means that though the money belongs to you, you don't just go to the bank and say, "Give me my money." There is a protocol you observe to be able to cash it out. Likewise, there are things that God has deposited in us by virtue of Calvary. But we need to understand that there are protocols that we need to observe in order to cash them out and enjoy them in this life. Are we following this? And we explained that there are threefold pursuits for the manifestations of glory, which means if any child of God wants to see a manifestation of an aspect of the glory of God in his life, he must pursue these three things. And we said number one was wisdom. And last week we began to look at the second thing every child of God must pursue for the manifestation of glory. And we said it is power. We explained that power is the ability of God to reveal a dimension of results in our lives. So when we are speaking of power, we are speaking of the ability of God, the capability of God, the ability of God, the omnipotence of God. That is what power is about. And we said that every child of God must pursue power. We gave reasons why every child of God must pursue power. I hope you remember them. We said, number one, we need power because we live in an evil world system. This whole world is actually swayed in wickedness. So you will need the power of God to be able to survive. Number two, we said, Satan is the god of this world, which is why we need power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Which means we are not on this earth alone. There are spirit beings that are in operation on this earth. A lot of human behaviors are inspired by demonic spirits. So the Bible is saying that our fight is not against human beings, but our fight is against demonic beings, which is why we need power. Number three, we need power because the realm of the spirit is power dependent.
which means the language of the spirit realm is power. Spirits don't understand English. They don't understand Hebrew or Greek. What they understand, the language the spirit realm speaks, is power. So which means you cannot use your education degree or your master's to deal with demonic powers. You cannot use your qualifications to deal with spiritual matters. Which is why you can see a professor who has ended up a drunkard. Which means there's another spirit controlling that professor. Are we following this thing at all? So we need power because that is the language of the spirit. Number four, we said we need power because Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power, before they can be witnesses, which means without the power of God, we can never be witnesses of Jesus. Are we following this thing? Number five, we need power because we need to live a victorious life. We need power to be able to live a victorious life and overcome the flesh and life challenges. Without the power of God, you cannot be able to overcome life challenges. A lot of Christians are falling into depression, falling into anxiety, falling into all kinds of temptations because they have failed to realize that it takes the power of God to transact business in this life. You cannot live above sin without the power of God. I've seen many believers trying to overcome sin. I've seen many believers crying because of sin. I've seen many believers trying hard to overcome the flesh. But listen to me, Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, that without me, you can do nothing. So it takes the power of God to live this Christian life. I'm teaching God here. So now today's message. Now, I want to quickly teach you on how the power of God is displayed. Because a lot of times, many Christians think that the power of God is only when someone falls down in a service. A lot of times, many Christians think that the power of God is when someone manifests a spirit and the spirit is cast out. That is when there's power. Yes, that is an aspect of power. But power is very broad. The power of God is displayed in four main ways. So when you see any of these happening to you, it is the power of God. Are we following this? So now the first display of power is the presence of God in our services. The first display of power is the presence of God in our services. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the essence of being in anointed meetings and church services. There is something you receive in church you cannot receive in a beer bar. There is something you receive in church you cannot receive in your bank. There is something you receive in church you cannot receive in a lecture hall. There is something you receive in church you cannot receive in the house. David said, one day or a day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere, which means 1,000 places outside the confinement of the presence of God can be futile without the presence of God. Are we following this thing? So listen to me. The first display of power is the presence of God in our services. So in church meetings, people cry. What is making them cry? It's the power of God being revealed through the presence of God. I'm teaching good, yeah? It is seen in deliverances under the same point. It's seen in our worship where believers begin to sense God in a very strong way that makes you kneel down. No one told you to kneel, but when the worship was going on, something just entered through you and you just felt like kneeling down. That thing that moved you to lie down, kneel down, or come to give an offering was the power of God. The second display of power is the witness and the conversion of souls. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes the power of God to get someone to be born again. In the book of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that is Satan, has blinded them who do not believe, which means that people believing the gospel must take power because Satan has blinded them. When people are resisting the gospel, it is more spiritual than physical. So when an unbeliever gets born again, that action is the power of God in display. When someone lifts his hands to say that I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, when a man preaches the gospel and the person hears the gospel and says that I believe. Now listen to me. Listen, you are just walking, someone calls you. Let's assume you don't know Jesus. You are from a fetish background. And someone comes to you and tells you that, hey, I want to preach the gospel to you. And you said, okay, what do you have to say? There was a man called Jesus. Thousands of years ago, we had a forefather called Adam. And Adam sinned. And in the sin and the fall of Adam, all of us became sinners. And God sent his dear son to come and die for our sins so that we can receive new life. And the only condition to receive this new life is to believe in Jesus. Now, does it really make sense? Now, the first question you ask is that, Adam, who is that? I don't even know Adam. So what are you telling me? So listen, it takes the spirit, it takes power to be able to communicate the gospel for a man to believe that he's a sinner and accept it. It takes power for a man to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, and he was raised. Because it doesn't make sense. So we need to understand that the gospel does not make sense, but it makes faith. That is why it only takes faith to believe the gospel. The Bible says by faith we understand, which means in the Christendom we have to believe before we understand. I'm teaching good here. So it takes the power of God for someone to believe the gospel of Christ. That's the second display of power. The third display of power is the transformation of believers. It's the transformation of believers. You have been into pornography addiction for the past 22 years. You started at the age of 5 years. You tried stopping several times. You couldn't stop. You started coming to church. You started reading your Bible. You started praying and telling the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome this. And gradually, day after day, you are moving from glory to glory. And then suddenly the desire and the appetite to do lesbianism and homosexuality, and suddenly the desire to masturbate, the desire to watch pornography, the desire to sin just began to leave you. That thing that left you was the power of God in display. At first you speak vulgar language. Every language that comes from your mouth is an insult. Then suddenly, as you were reading the word of God, something entered you and you began to watch your words. That power that transformed you is the power of God. I'm teaching good here. And finally, the power of God is the manifestation or the display of the gifts of the Spirit. The power of God is the manifestation or the display of the gifts of the Spirit. A prophet comes and calls your name. He says, your name is Isaac. He says, yes, that's my name. How did he know that? It took the power of God to tap into God's knowledge. Hallelujah. A man looks at you, and as he looks at you, let's say a prophet looks at you, and as he looks at you, you were in a dirty cloth, wearing slippers, with a dirty t-shirt. And a man just looked at you and he says, the Lord says 3 years from now, you are going to be a CEO of a company. Now, will you believe that? I remember the days I was a drummer. My dad is a pastor. My mom is a pastor. So I came out from a purely Christian community. So I was playing drums, and then a prophet came to me and said, the Lord says that you're going to be a great prophet of God. And within 3 years, everybody's going to hear from you. Now, I was watching the man. I was like, the man doesn't know what I've been doing in secret. He doesn't know. He didn't see well. Because this guy playing drum does not look like a prophet. But by prophecy, you can look like it with time. That prophetic ability is the power of God. Are we following this thing? A man of God tells you you have headache. Now, in the normal health sector, we know when you have headache, you take what? Para. But a man of God says, take water. The same sachet water you have been drinking every day. He says, take it. Or took it. And he says, Father, in Jesus' name, I command this water to be the blood of Jesus. And I command that every disease departs in the name of Jesus. And the person who has headache
takes the water, and suddenly the headache is gone. What is that? It's the power of God. That is the wisdom of God to solve a problem. Are we following this thing? So speaking in tongues, if you are here, you speak in tongues, is the power of God. Every gift of the Spirit you display is the manifestation of what? The power of God. So from today, never ever think that there is no power flowing in your life. Lift your right hand and say, Jesus, thank you that your power is flowing in my life. One more time, say, Jesus, thank you that your power is flowing through my life. Hallelujah. Now, this is my favorite of all the teachings on power. I'm teaching you on the five powers that God has provided for the believer. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, the verse 20. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which tells us that power has already been made available by God in every believer. In fact, this is not an ordinary power, but the entirety of the power of God that was vested in raising Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 17 to 19, even from the 15, the Bible says, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for one another, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in that which is to come. Now, when you read that verse well, it used almost every Greek word that qualifies power in that verse. He used hupabalo. He used megatos. He used iskus. He used kratos. It used energia. It used energio. It used dunamis. All the powers we find in Greek was vested in one verse, which was actually referring to the resurrection of Jesus. Which means that in the resurrection of Jesus, all of God's power was wrought, and that same power lives inside of you. You didn't understand me. There is resurrection power inside of you. There is resurrection power inside of you. Jesus put all that ability inside you when he entered you by faith. Listen to me. There is a giant in you, but you need to discover it. There was a time Elijah gave a prophecy and said, tomorrow by this time, a barley of bread will be sold for a shekel. He gave that prophecy. And there were four lepers who looked at themselves and like, why sit we here till we perish? And they said, let us move on in faith. If we perish, we perish. And they began to move. Apparently in the Philistine camp, having thousands of soldiers and food available, as the lepers were moving, God amplified their steps. And the Philistine camp began to hear the footsteps of four lepers as giants and as a whole army coming upon them. And the Bible said, they said, hey, there's an army coming against us. Meanwhile, there were only four lepers. That was how the Philistines got out of the camp and left all the food. And four lepers fed the whole nation. Listen to me. You may be looking at your life today as if you were a leper, but inside your feet is a grand power of God. Inside your feet is a grand ability of God. Listen to me. If you take a step of faith to believe what God says about you, I see God using that same limitation you have to be a manifestation of great power in your life. All the things that fought you in 2023, in this year, by resurrection power, you are about taking a bold step. You are about to take over. You are about to move on in wealth. You are about to move on in glory. In the name of Jesus, shout Jesus. You see, thank you, Lord. So, there are five ways God has provided power to the believer
to express the resurrection power of Jesus. Five powers that God has provided for the Christian. Are you here with me? Now, number one, very interesting, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, please, when you hear this teaching, put it to practice. The first power that God has given to the church is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the indwelling spirit. John chapter 14, the verse 16. Give that to me in Amplified Version. John chapter 14, the verse 16. Now look, the Bible says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, look at the things he used to describe the functions of the Holy Spirit. Now, another word for the comforter is what? Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Which means the Holy Ghost is all these things to you. Listen. The Bible is teaching us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is our helper. He's our intercessor. He is our advocate. He is our strengthener. And he's our standby. This is interesting. The power God made available to us is the power of the indwelling presence of God. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So the Holy Ghost is the container, the carrier of the power of God. So the first power God gave you is the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, if you are a child of God, if you are a believer, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. In the book of Romans chapter 8, the verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Which means that we are weak in ourselves to help ourselves. So that God gave us the Holy Spirit to be the power behind our weakness. Now we need to understand that in the Old Testament, when Israel came out of captivity, guess what? The first thing that God gave to them as a sign was a cloud. The Bible says that God appeared to Israel in a pillar of cloud by what? Day, and a pillar of fire by night. Now, this is very interesting. This is a prophetic figurative language that God was speaking to us. The pillar of cloud was the presence of God. The pillar of fire was the power of God. So we need to understand that in the journey of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God guarded them by his presence and by his power. In the New Testament, we don't have a cloud, we have a person. And the Holy Ghost, as he functioned as the presence of God and the power of God with Israel, this is the same way he functions towards us and in us. What did the cloud do? The cloud gave direction to Israel. What did the cloud do? The cloud brought all the victories of Israel, telling us that the spirit we have in us actually is supposed to lead us and bring us all the victories we need in this world. Listen to me. The power of God inside you through the Holy Spirit is to bring you guidance and victory. Which means in any area of your life you are failing, the spirit is not involved. In any area of your life that you are failing, the spirit is not involved. I'm teaching good, yeah? Now, this will amaze you. Are you not amazed that Jesus was prophesied by the Spirit, conceived by the Spirit, born by the Spirit, grew in the Spirit, was baptized by the Spirit, was led by the Spirit, was filled by the Spirit, he offered himself on the cross by the Spirit, he was buried by the Spirit, he was raised by the Spirit, he ascended by the Spirit, he is seated by the Spirit, and today he is in you by the Spirit. T- telling us that Jesus Christ is the blueprint of Christianity. Jesus did nothing. Even his birth was inspired by the Spirit of God. Telling us that Jesus did nothing in his life without the Holy Ghost. What makes you think you can do anything in your life without the guidance, the motivation, the empowerment, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Oh, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Most of you have taken the Holy Ghost out of your marriage. You've taken the Holy Ghost out of how you raise your kids. You've taken the Holy Ghost out of your family. You've taken the Holy Ghost out of your business. You've taken the Holy Ghost out of your job. You've taken the Holy Ghost out of your relationships with other people. Forgetting that the Holy Spirit is the power behind making every molecular structure stable in your life. I'll teach you good here. Can I give you three examples? Now, if you want to go to Europe, you can use three ways. Number one, you can walk, which can take you 6 months. Number two, you can go with a car, which can take you 6 weeks. Or you can go with a flight, which can take you 6 hours. Which one do you want? What? Now, you see, many of us have not understood. If you want to go to Europe by walking, which means your strength will make it available, by the time you get there, you die. And that is how many Christians are trying to live. They want to arrive in a journey at a place, but the means they are going does not have the Spirit involved. Now, when you sit in a plane, it's a pilot who has gone to school, who has knowledge of the road, he has the map and knows where to move, and the pilot watches, he says, relax, I'll take you there. So you just sit in the plane. They even give you food to eat by the air hostess. And they drive you, they fly you straight at the airport of another nation in Europe, and you begin to transact business from that nation. Most of you have learned, or most of you have not realized, that it takes the Spirit to fly you to the place where God wants to take you. Yes. And hear me. If you allow the Holy Spirit, what should take you 6 months can take you 6 hours. If you allow the Holy Spirit, what should take you 60 days can take you 60 hours. Listen to me. If you allow the Holy Ghost, he can turn your life around. I know what I'm saying. Yes. We are in this auditorium because we allow the Holy Ghost. We allow the Holy Ghost. So hear me. We have to learn to depend and rest in the Holy Ghost. To talk to him and ask for help. How come the Bible calls the Holy Ghost helper and you don't involve him? Listen to me. The power of the Holy Ghost is beyond any power you can imagine. If you will only learn to yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit. The last time I checked, in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 from the verse 2 to the verse 6, the Bible speaks of the sevenfold Spirit of God. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, does it mean the Holy Ghost is seven? No. The Holy Ghost is one, but has sevenfold manifestations. And inside the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of dominion and the presence of God. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, which means understanding is embedded in the Holy Ghost. Dominion is embedded in the Holy Ghost. Counsel is embedded in the Holy Ghost. Might is embedded in the Holy Ghost. Knowledge and the fear of the Lord is embedded in the Holy Ghost, which means if he lives in you, all these things are supposed to function, but until you yield, they can't. So if you are lacking wisdom, it's not because you don't have the Spirit. It's because you have not utilized the Spirit. You have no idea. When I stand to pray, there is no day I don't pray and God doesn't share something with me. I'm teaching you this. God can give you an idea that can make you a millionaire. We call that the Spirit of wisdom.
When you see sin, that thing in you that makes you flee in the fear of God, it comes from the Holy Ghost.
So listen to me. Technically speaking, if you don't understand and utilize the power of the Spirit, you will fail as a Christian. I wish I had more time to talk about this. Now, in the next 30 seconds, just bow down your hand. Maybe you have not recognized that there is even anything called the Holy Spirit. You want to talk to the Holy Spirit and tell him, the Holy Spirit, I've taken too many decisions without you. Please help me. Help me to overcome my struggles. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Help me. Give me wisdom to live. Give me wisdom to take the right decisions. Give me wisdom to be at the right place at the right time. Listen to me. As you are praying, something is happening. Just pray. You have 20 seconds more. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we want to look at the second power made available to the believer. This is interesting. Today, you're going to be so blessed. The second power made available for the believer is the power of the Word of God. Now, these powers I'm teaching you are separate powers, but when combined, they become powerful. Have you watched Captain Planet before? When we're kids, you watch Captain Planet? Oh, you have not watched Captain Planet before. When were you born? Are you a Y2K baby? Now, there was a kid's movie. It was like a series. Very interesting. Every child loves Captain Planet. Okay? And Captain Planet was like a power or a god that brought sanitation on the earth. And there were evil people who brought evil upon the world. And Captain Planet had five vessels that he was using. Okay, so anytime individually they could use their powers to solve some problems, but when they realized that the killer was more wicked and powerful, what they do was that they combined. They said, wind, water, fire, heart, go planet. Then Captain Planet will just come. He'll just come like that and come and solve the problem for them. Now, individually, they were powerful, but together, they became superpowers. So now, these powers I'm sharing with you, individually, they are powerful. But when you combine the power of the Spirit, the power of the Word, the power of the blood, the power, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Something supernatural happens to your life. So the power of the Word. Listen, if you are not a Bible student, if you are not reading your Bible, you are missing out on the divine power. Read your Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Check it out. The verse 3. The Bible says, upholding all things by the word of his power. He says, upholding all things by the word of his power. Which means it is the word of God's power that holds everything in place. The moon is still standing and has not fallen because of the word of God. The stars have not fallen because of the word of God. Listen to me. The word of God is the word of God's power. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, check your Bible. The Bible says the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know what the Bible is telling us? That the word of God carries enough power to deal with issues in your life. He says it is quick and powerful. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit, which means the word of God is a weapon. If you are fighting in war, you don't have a sword or a gun, you will die before your time. Unfortunately, many Christians are casualties and victims of the plottings and the plans and the schemes of the wicked one simply because they don't wield their weapons. I'm teaching good here.
In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, the verse 3, I love the word of God. The Bible says his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness according to the knowledge of him that has called us by glory and virtue. Which means that the power of God has been made available in us to be able to make anything in this life and even a Christian life possible. But it can only come through the knowledge of him which is found in the word of God. So which means without the word of God, the powers of God available in you cannot be activated. Hey! Listen, the word of God is the key to unlocking the power of God. The word of God is the key to unlocking the power of God. The word of God is the key to unlocking the power of God. Which means whatever pertains your marriage, your wealth, favor in your life, it is found in scripture. Psalm 119, the verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, this is very interesting. In our modern days, David was saying, without the word of God, you will experience doom song. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hear me carefully. The Bible is telling us the word of God in our lives is like prepaid. Have you realized you can have a meter, but if you have not loaded it with credit, no matter all the equipment you have available, you cannot use them because the power will be out. Your spirit man is a prepaid meter. The word of God is the credit. Most of you are light out. Not because you don't have a meter. You are light out because there is no credit. Anytime you read the word, you put more credit on. So the reason why there is darkness functioning in your life is because you have not bought prepaid. Tell somebody buy prepaid. And have you noticed that the prepaid, they have different amounts of money. You can buy one CD. You can buy prepaid one CD. That one you can only put on one bulb. But if you are using air conditioning, hey, and you buy 5 CDs, by the time you walk outside the compound and come back, it's gone. So if you are having equipment, if you are having gadgets like this, look at these air conditions. About 8 of them are here with 2 other ones there. With this equipment, and you buy prepaid 10 CDs. You see, some of you, the way you are chasing in life, that's how chasing you are in the word of God. Into better be brain, no? Now we read it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Yes, you don't me. You only have 2 CDs. And very soon it will go out. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen to me. You need more prepaid to power your spiritual life. I'm teaching good here, man. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable. The word of God has profit for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction. Maybe you are here, listen to me, you have lost hope because you didn't have a father to raise you. You didn't have a mother to take care of you. So you stayed with someone. So you felt that if I had some people, if I had some mother, if I had a father to take care of me, I wouldn't have been where I am. Because if I had a father who would have beaten me, who would have corrected me, who would have disciplined me, I don't know how my life, I don't know why I've ended this way because I didn't have anybody to take care of me. Listen to me. The Bible is saying that the word of God has the ability to profit you with correction. It doesn't matter your limitation. If you have the word of God, you have the best parent. So stop giving excuses why you are where you are. If you have the word of God, you have a future. Go to the word of God. Listen to teachings. Find out God's word, God's mind concerning your life. With time, God will start expanding and building capacity in your life. The word of God is power. Psalm 1,
Psalm 1, the verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon this law he doeth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the riverside. His leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hear me. If you will meditate on scripture, you will be established. The word of God is your establishment. It will make you fortified. You are unmovable. You are unbreakable. You are unfriable. You are unchayable. You are unknowable. The word of God. The word of God. I was shocked when I found in my Bible, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, the verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my sayings. In the verse 21, he said, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, interestingly, he mentions three organs of your body. Your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Have you realized he says that don't let the word of God depart from your ears? Attend to it. Keep it on your eyes. Put them in your heart. Have you realized these are the three areas Satan is also governing? So he will make you watch season movie. What he's doing is that he's also telling you, my son, attend to season movie. Incline thine ears unto my sayings through the movies you are watching. Let them not depart from thine eyes. 24 hours. Suits. These are what we're educating ourselves with. He says, keep them in the midst of their heart. I will share with the church on Friday that, listen, Nollywood and Hollywood does not do any movie to entertain you. Every movie they are doing is to educate you. Whilst you're watching that movie, Satan is permeating your soul. He's permeating your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are involved in the movie. And he's sending a certain government to you so he can rule over your life without you knowing. You saw it as entertainment. Satan saw it as education. He's teaching you how homosexuals function. That's why he will add homosexuality to the main character. So you cannot avoid it, but you must watch it. And these are the tricks of Satan. And many have not understood. How do you watch a movie when you have not read your Bible? Can you imagine that this is the greatest book any man can ever find in this world? Yet it's the most ignored. And even the pastors who preach it don't read it. Look at the next verse. He says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Life. Shout in life. In Psalm 103, the verse 20 and 21, I discovered that the word of God in the believer's mouth has the same power as the word of God in God's mouth. And according to this verse, the Bible says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands. Look at it. Hearkening, listening, obeying unto the voice of his word. When a believer speaks the word of God, it's an instruction to spirits. You understand what I'm just saying? When the word of God is on the lips of a believer, it's an instruction to spirit. Angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when you speak the word of God, you control and send forth and instruct angels. Because angels don't obey you. They only obey God. And they obey God by his commands. So the word of God is like commandments to angels. So when you are saying, I cannot die, you are saying that an angel should make sure it shouldn't happen. You get this thing. When you are saying, greater is he that is in me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that strengthens me. I'm protected and preserved by the word of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You are actually putting angels on assignment to make sure the word of God is fulfilled. The power of the word of God. The third power is the power of the blood of Christ.
the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, it's very interesting that many believers don't know what to do with the blood of Jesus. Today, I'll teach you. You don't know what to do with the blood of Jesus because you don't understand the whole foundational structure of the blood of Christ. Now, according to the word of God, there are about 5 powers in the blood of Jesus. Now, number one, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the blood of Jesus has forgiving power. And almost all things by the law is purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is remission. So the blood of Jesus carries what? Forgiving power. Number two, the blood of Jesus carries cleansing power. 1 John 1:7-9. The blood of Jesus carries cleansing power. So it is only the blood of Jesus that can secure your forgiveness. Number two, it is only the blood of Jesus that can secure your cleansing. The Bible says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son, that's what cleanses us from all sin. Look at the verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, the blood of Jesus carries legal power. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. The Bible says, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The next verse says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the what? Blood of sprinkling, that what speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, which tells us the blood of Jesus has a voice. Listen to me. The reason why the blood of Jesus carries legal power is because in the courtroom of God, it takes blood. It takes the blood of Jesus to be able to make a case and win. If Satan makes an allegation against you to say that you said that this one should not be attacked, but look at what he has done. He has just sinned. We are supposed to attack him. And Jesus says, my blood. Listen, there are legalities in our families. There are witches in our families. There are occults in our families. There are strange beings in our families that work with legalities. I'm teaching good here. When I speak of legalities, for example, when you say, I am silly, it's a legality in the spirit. You thought you just said, I'm silly, but a spirit took it and made sure he will ensure you are silly. I will die. I will die. Have you seen that joke? Do you know what that means in the spirit? That is why many people don't know that it takes the blood of Jesus to neutralize this thing. You know, I'm sure you're a young man, you impregnated a lady, and when they ask you if you are responsible, you say no. And the lady cried naked with her buttocks on the floor. And said, hey, James, you didn't take care of this baby. You said that this baby does not belong to you. You will never see prosperity in your life. And the woman added one egg, pow, and drank one pure water. My friend, it shall come to pass. Oh, if not the blood of Jesus, it shall come to pass. It may tarry long, but it shall come to pass. There were a group of twins who impregnated a lady. And the girl didn't know they were twins. And they came to the house of the guys and they said that, you impregnated me. Before I realized, the twin brother came. And they said, me, I didn't impregnate you. And they got to the door. I said, the same face. This one says, it wasn't me. This one to say, it wasn't me. And they were making mockery of the lady. And the lady left. The pregnant woman left. And said, both of you said it wasn't you. I sit on the floor with my Bible toss, and I declare a curse upon you, that none of you shall hear the voice of a cry of a baby in your house. They are 55 years now. No baby. We call it legality. And listen, legalities are handled with legalities. That is why God brought you to church today. Because I came to speak with a counter legality. That the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Anything you did, oh my goodness, you see, this church doesn't understand. Anything you have done by ignorance, anything you said, anything you did, that you did it out of ignorance, and Satan has said, I will ensure that it shall come to pass. I stand as God's oracle, I stand as God's servant, and by the blood of Jesus, I wipe it away now. I wipe it away now. Every legality is neutralized by the blood of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray and say, Father, any legality Satan is holding against me, against my family, against my life, any word I've spoken carelessly, anything I've done that has attracted a curse upon my life, I neutralize it by the blood of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. You may not know, but as you are praying, Jesus is helping you. You may not know, but as you are praying, there is help from above. You may not know, but Jesus is coming through. Bleed the blood. Bleed the blood. Bleed the blood. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. You deserve to die, but mercy said no. You deserve to perish. Mercy said no. You deserve to be poor. Mercy said no. You deserve to be buried. Mercy said no. Plead the blood. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. We have entered another realm now. I'm telling you. We've entered another dimension now. I'm going to close soon so we can pray. We're going to spend time to pray today. Number one, number four, the blood of Jesus carries redeeming power or redemption power. The blood of Jesus carries redeeming power or redemption power. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. To redeem means to buy back. It means to purchase. 1 Peter chapter 1, the verse 18 and 19. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And number five, the blood of Jesus, this is my interesting part, carries overcoming power. Please, something is happening in the spiritual. I can see angels now. And I'm not boasting about it. Revelation chapter 12, the verse 11. Now the Bible says something interesting here. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb. That means the blood of Jesus is for warfare. The angels use the blood of Jesus to fight Satan. Which means the blood of Jesus can be used to win battles. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word, and by the what? The word of their testimony. So listen, the blood of Jesus carries overcoming power. The blood of Jesus can overcome demonic plottings against your life. I'm teaching good, yeah? Listen to me. If you are here listening to me, and then you are the type that is always having blaspheming thoughts. Thoughts of suicide. Thoughts of failure. Thoughts of immorality. All kinds of thoughts have been flooding your mind. And you know these thoughts are not godly. You know these thoughts don't bring glory to God. Thoughts of hatred. Listen to me. And some of these thoughts you can't control. I remember years ago when I was in Accra Academy. I don't know what happened to me. One day I was just there and I started blaspheming in my mind against Jesus. I said, stupid Jesus. Good Satan. Foolish Jesus. good Satan. It was in my mind. I couldn't control it. See, this thing, I didn't know what I know now. It took 4 years. Four. Before I got free. I didn't want to say it, but my mind was saying it. And I was blaspheming against Jesus when I didn't want to say it. It got to a time I started feeling condemned. And I said, what is going on? I don't want to think this thought. Why is this thought? I didn't know it was a demon inspiring those thoughts. Listen to me. In this your mind, spirits can whisper voices into your mind, telling you to kill yourself. If you are here and you have felt like committing suicide before, I want you to know it was a spirit. It was a spirit telling you and convincing you to commit suicide. It's not from God. Because listen, if it's not your time and you commit suicide, most of the time, it is Satan doing that. Satan whispers to your mind that life is finished. Satan whispers to your mind that there is nothing. You are a failure. You have already failed. Nothing good can come out of your life. You will still remain poor, whether you work or not. Nothing good can come out of you. Kill yourself. And it comes as a thought. It's a demon doing that. And listen to me. You have to learn to plead the blood over your thoughts. And you got to say it. I cleanse my mind with the blood of Jesus. I cleanse my mind with the blood of Jesus. Do you know what's going to happen? The thing will go. It may come again. Keep doing that. Can you hold your mind right now? Just hold your brain. Say, I cleanse my thoughts. Oh, come on. You're not saying this thing with authority. Say this thing with authority. Say, I cleanse my thoughts with the blood of Jesus. One more time. I cleanse my thoughts with the blood of Jesus. I cleanse my thoughts with the blood of Jesus. Listen to me. One occultist who became born again, an occult man, a Satanist, he made a statement that when they see true believers, they see them in three forms. Number one, they see them with a pillar of fire behind them. And anytime they want to attack them, the pillar of fire enlarges. Number two, they see genuine believers. When I say genuine believer, I'm talking about a believer who is serious as a Christian. Number two, they see them in fire. They are in fire. They are walking, but they are hidden in fire. And number three, they see them in an ocean of blood. In an ocean of blood. Listen, I don't know, but listen, you can by faith use the blood to cover your family members. I cover my children with the blood. Because you don't know the teacher. Yesterday I read a message of how a teacher seduced a 12-year-old girl and entered a relationship with her and was sleeping with this 12-year-old girl for close to 2 years, every day, sometimes morning and evening, until the 12-year-old girl began to enjoy it and she comes herself. And this guy is 29 years. Imagine you have given birth and someone is doing this with a 12-year-old child. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus can cover people around you. Can you plead the blood over your family? Plead the blood over your family. Come on. Come on. I plead the blood over my family members. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I cover my business with the blood of Jesus. I cover my house with the blood of Jesus. Come on, say it now. I cover my room with the blood of Jesus. Come on, pray it now. Pray it now. I cover my life. I cover my ears. I cover my heart with the blood of Jesus. I cover my home with the blood of Jesus. I cover everywhere I go, my steps. I cover it with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Is something working at all? There was a pastor who soaked his name in the blood of Jesus every day for 4 years. Anytime he finished praying, I soaked my name in the blood of Jesus. I soaked my name in the blood of Jesus. And one day an occult group met and they were discussing him. And they said, who is that? And they mentioned the pastor's name. The moment they mentioned it, all the lights in the place, boom, everything went out. And they did an investigation and they realized this pastor has been soaking his name in the blood of Jesus for 4 years. Today, anyone who will call your name in any shrine, any temple with your picture, the power of God will destroy that camp in the name of Jesus. Am I helping someone at all? So take advantage. That's why the communion is for you. Tonight we're returning for the evening service. We are taking communion. This is our first communion and anointing service. If you are here, you are sick, you have a problem going on, you have a challenge that is going on, and you are feeling it's a spiritual matter, tonight you have to come because we are having a special service to break yokes, take the communion and anoint ourselves. So tonight I'm not preaching, it's only ministration and communion.
So please, don't miss these things, because they are real. Things are happening in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, number four, before I close, the power, I love this one, of prayer and Christ's intercession. The fourth power made available is the power of prayer. The power of what? Prayer and Christ's intercession. Now, many Christians have underestimated the power of prayer. Listen, prayer on its own is a power. Just like the blood of Jesus carries its own power. So prayer is a power, it's a force. You see, what prayer does is that it connects you to God. Now, let me give an example when I say it connects you to God. Now, how many of you can see this diffuser here? Have you seen a diffuser? All right. Now, yes, please come. Now, turn it off and disconnect it. Now, what just happened? The lights went off, the smoke went off, it stopped functioning. Have you realized that? This is a believer without the power of God. The smoke is already inbuilt. The light is inbuilt. But it can't function unless it has been what? Take it off. Unless it has been what? Unless it has been what? Connected. So now, can you turn it on? So connect it now and put on the plug. Now, come and put it on. So listen, every function in your life only comes into display when you are connected to God through prayer. So hear me. There's prophecy over you that you'll be great. You'll be a great businessman. You're going to be a great man of God. You're going to be a great influence. You're going to do great things for God. You're going to succeed in life. Listen to me. All these things can never turn on until you are connected to the powerhouse of heaven. And that's what many Christians have not realized. This thing has a very beautiful function, but it is useless without power. So when we pray, we connect our spirits to the Spirit of God. We connect our souls into heaven. We connect ourselves into heavenly realities, and the power of God flows through our spirits and brings us divine results. Now hear me carefully before I do this. How many of you have watched Avengers before? You've not watched Avengers. It's a movie. Okay, how many of you have watched a comic movie before? A movie that has a lot of powers. Star Wars, Avengers. These powers, someone lifts his hands and power is just removed, released like that. A laser comes from his hands like that. I took some pictures of behind the scenes, so I give you an explanation. Now, look at some few behind the scenes. Okay, so I use that to make my point and then I close. Can we have the photos now? Is it ready? All right, so let's just give them time. So if you've watched, if it's ready, just let me know. So you've watched Star Wars, you've watched Avengers. Have you realized there's one guy, he's called Thor, okay? Thor can just do his hand like that, and then what happens? He has a certain hammer that will enter into his hands, right? Spider-Man can just do, and then there's... Hallelujah. So he does, then cobwebs comes out of it, and then you just do like this, then you fly. Have you noticed that? Superman will do his hand like this, then he's in the skies. Have you noticed that? Now, in reality, that is not who they are. I hope you are aware. If you check behind the scenes, you will notice Titanic was done in a swimming pool, but you saw it as an ocean. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, look at behind the scenes. Now, they are in a green room. At times, they are in a blue room. In one room, oh, yet you see it as a forest. Give me other ones. Flow, flow, flow. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Is the only one you have? Who is this kind of guy there?
Hallelujah. So now, do you see? Have you seen the machine there? Meanwhile, they were in a room. Next one, check it. Look at the car they are using and look at how the car came. Next one. Next one. Look. So in the movie, they are fighting in mountains. Meanwhile, they were in a park. Next one. Look. They were in a green room, but now he's on an island. Next one. Look. Hey, this man wicked. He's standing on a table, but now they've made him stand on a boat. In fact, a ship. That's the behind the scenes. Let's move again. Look, they've put a mic stand or whatever it is, and they've put the head of an animal there. They've amplified it to make it a full image animal. Are you noticing it? Is it done? Look, the guy is holding aluminium, but in the movie, he's holding a bass. Please, are you watching these things? Is that all? So look, he's talking to a human being that's wearing a green this thing. But when it was produced, look at the thing there. Are they the same? Is it that? So now look, they were in a green room, but now they are standing beside the waterfalls on a mountain. Are you watching all this? Are you getting these things? Look, this is a whole ocean. Meanwhile, they're on a board. So the actor, the movie, now pay attention to me. In a green room. So now listen to me. For example, Thor is the one who commands the hammer. So before he acts the movie, they tell him that, imagine that you are taking the hammer. So anytime Thor is acting the movie on reality, there is no hammer there. Either a stick or a cane. Then he's holding like this. In his mind, he's imagining that it's a hammer and he's using it to act. Are you following what I'm saying? If there's someone who uses laser beams, then maybe light will come out of his hands and then he'll burn something. They tell him, do your hand this way as if laser is coming out. If the laser is in your eyes, he said, do this way. And the laser will come from your eyes and kill them. Are you realizing that? So when they act it in the green room, the producer takes the movie, puts it on his system, and puts reality into that movie they acted in one single room. Now they can put and project a room as though it's a whole nation. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes there are three people fighting on the real scene, but in the produced version, it is 10,000 people. That is the power of prayer. Hear me carefully. When we lift up our hands up to pray, we need to realize that what the word of God says about prayer is true. If prayer can release the word of God, what God is saying is that as you are seated in the auditorium and we say lift up your hands and begin to send fire, what happens is that in the auditorium, your hands are lifted, you don't see any fire, but heaven takes that prayer into a new production room and heaven begins to put that fire you are doing here in the auditorium into a reality, and it begins to kill enemies. So you are saying, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God to India. I declare any power that is fighting me, as I lift my hand, then a laser comes out in the spirit. As I lift my hands, a hammer appears in your hand spiritually. And as you throw your hand, a hammer is released, but you could not see with your eyes. That is what happens when we pray. So listen to me. Just like the producer would tell the man acting the movie, imagine that your hand has a sword. That's why when you are praying, you must use the power of your imagination. As you are praying for your sick child, you must see the child healed. As you are praying for your family members in Volta region, you must see the power of God destroying the idols there. As you are praying and sending the power of God to your office, you must see the power of God touching the things in the office before it becomes a reality. Why? Because that is exactly what is happening in the production house of heaven.
Many Christians have not understood prayer. Listen, John Bunyan said, if you are not a praying person, you are not a Christian. Another said, prayer is the soul's blood. Another also said, no man is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil himself. Not because he practices it, but because he suffers from it. One also said, no man is greater than his prayer life. A prayerless believer is a profitless and powerless believer. One man said, unction cannot be learned. It can only be earned in the place of prayer. Another said, what capital is to a businessman? Prayer is to the believer. Another also said, he who kneels before God will stand any situation. Beloved, I want to tell you something. If you can give yourself to prayer, you can release powers in the realm of the spirit, which is more powerful than an atomic bomb. If you can release prayer, if you can take your problems to God in prayer and not just discuss it with people, God can release a power beyond your imagination. Pray. I'll pray
until I see your will be done, oh Yahweh.